Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We got everybody from Bob Stoops on the show today. Michael Vick will break down the schedules. You know, Joy, 25 years ago, when I started in this business, I was way more into the draft than everybody else was. I was just obsessed about it, to the point where I've had people come up to me years later and like, I like the draft because you were so into it. Not that I've led people to the draft, but I would talk about it February and March and April 20 years ago, and I also loved the schedule, and I was mocked for years for making a big deal out of the schedule. And now networks give the whole night to the schedule. It absolutely matters who you play when you play them. It absolutely, coaches will tell you, they look and where's the bye? Our offensive line's young. Where are the worst pass rushes? So I last night I sat there, it was candy. It was so much fun for me.
Well, you know, You're America's truth teller.
Yeah.
You're an innovator.
Honesty broker.
Yeah, honesty broker. You're ahead of your time.
A little bit, yeah. So the schedule matters. Let's get past that. It, of course, matters. It absolutely can change everything. And every year, everybody's like, this is the hardest schedule. This is the easiest schedule. And I never understand that based on last year's winning percentage. Teams aren't the same. They get new coaches. They get new coordinators. They get new players during the draft and free agency. I never understand taking last year's winning percentages and then going, okay, that's the Steelers had the toughest schedule. I looked at the Steelers schedule. It's not the toughest schedule. I don't even think it's top five. I'll give you two examples of what I consider easy schedules. And these are both really talented teams. These are easy schedules. And both these teams have an over-under 9.5 wins. Let's take New England. So what does Bill Belichick feast on? Young quarterbacks. Bill Belichick in his career in New England, 80% wins against quarterbacks in their first or second year. Go look at their schedule. They face six quarterbacks in their first or second year. Tua in the opener, then Zach Wilson. A few weeks later, Zach Wilson, Justin Herbert. End of the year, Trevor Lawrence. Tua, you could put down 6-0 or 5-1 there. Also, six other quarterbacks. Belichick's been running the same defensive system forever. He's got it down in stone. Six other quarterbacks who have either a new coach or a new system. The Saints, Houston, Carolina, Atlanta, Tennessee, and the Colts with Wentz. So those guys aren't new quarterbacks, although Belichick has owned a few of them. What they are, though, they got a brand new system. So 12 of the 17 games edge Belichick. Here's another thing. Belichick's best coach ever. Six games this year against first-time head coaches. Huge edge Belichick. Those are games coaching can win. He's looking at that. Young quarterbacks, first-time head coaches. Folks, that is a favorable schedule for New England. 9.5, I'll take the over. What was the other schedule I was really interested in? Cleveland. I thought Cleveland got a scheduling break. Now, Cleveland has to face Kansas City in Arrowhead week one. No, that's the worst team to play in the NFL week one. Andy Reid off a bye, Andy Reid in September. They're going to lose that. But if you look at the way, because Cleveland has New England on the schedule, Green Bay on the schedule, a tough division. Kansas City on the schedule. So it could have been brutal. It's not. It works in Cleveland's favor. So take the Kansas City game out 0-1. I said they have eight new defensive starters or nine, right? They need a soft open to get those guys ready. Well, after Kansas City, dysfunctional Houston and Chicago and Andy Dalton. Then Minnesota rebuilding. Then a rookie head coach, Brandon Staley. Then they get Arizona, Denver at home. and Pittsburgh at home. So after Kansas City, 5 of their next 7 are at home. Don't have to travel. Don't have to lose any time there. And a lot of these are dysfunctional offenses. At the end of the year, we said they play back-to-back Ravens, but they get a break there. They get at Baltimore by Baltimore. But Baltimore doesn't get a bye in the second game. They face the Steelers before that second Browns game. Big edge Cleveland. Also the Raiders. We said the Raiders are much tougher to face in September and early October. They've been a giant killer. They beat the Saints last year. They beat the Chiefs. But they have died because they don't have the depth. They've died post-Thanksgiving. They get the Raiders later in the year. So I look at that and I think to myself, yeah, Kansas City is just everybody. Kansas City would beat everybody, including Tampa Bay, in a rematch of the Super Bowl with that rebuilt O-line. Kansas City, week one in Arrowhead, you don't want any part of that. After that, it's home games, young coaches. End of the year, they get a break and a bye with Baltimore. They get the Raiders later than early. And by the way, they also get Big Ben week 17. Big Ben's an older quarterback. They're not as good late as they are early, especially for a guy who's never, you know, manicured his body like Tom Brady. So I thought New England and Cleveland are 9.5 win over-under bets. I like the over on both. I thought they both got a scheduling break. That's how I rate schedules. All right, so here's the other story yesterday that made news, and I think we're kind of, you know, sometimes everybody talks about hot takes. I always say I'm a wet blanket. I always feel like I'm always like, settle down. So let me do a settle down here. Green Bay signs a one-year deal with Blake Bortles. Settle down. That's an indictment of Jordan Love. That's all that is. That's telling you Aaron's older. He's 37. He's been hurt more than once. They're just telling you Jordan Love's not ready. That's not telling you Aaron Rodgers is leaving. The Packers only carry two quarterbacks right now. They need a third. Aaron's older. He gets hurt. That doesn't tell you Aaron Rodgers is leaving. It's telling you Jordan Love, we don't think right now, is as good as Blake Bortles. That's the issue. By the way, yesterday, John Kuhn, former fullback for the Packers, came out and reiterated Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay is fixable. Why is that noteworthy? Because John and Aaron are boys. And that is the third close friend slash ally of Aaron Rodgers. James Jones, John Kuhn, AJ Hawk on this show have all used the word fixable. You think it's a coincidence? They're talking to Aaron. Also, the Packers' schedule came out. 5 primetime games and 6 afternoon games equals 11 total national TV games more than Dallas. Leagues always know what's up. Remember when James Harden and the Rockets weren't scheduled for Christmas? The league knew he's getting traded. Fertitta talks to Silver. He's getting traded. The league knows something here. They got a sense that Aaron's not going anywhere. Listen, Aaron is trapped. And I'm more of a rip the Band-Aid off guy. If somebody doesn't want to be with me, girl, quarterback, I'm out. Like, there's a sea of people. But Aaron's trapped. Green Bay owns his rights for 3 years. Where's he going to go? I'm going to retire. All right, go to Jeopardy. You got to stay out for 3 years. Also, trading Aaron Rodgers would be a wildly splashy move. If I say to you, what's the opposite of splashy in the NFL? You would say, Packers. There's no incentive to trade him because you can't get anything in return. What's Denver going to give you, Teddy Bridgewater? So the Green Bay roster is a collection of some veteran players who are very expensive. It's not a rebuild. You got contracts, guys you got to pay. It is not a rebuild. There's no incentive to trade him. You have his rights. You've been to back-to-back NFC championships. 3 of Aaron's friends are all using the exact word, fixable. It's not a coincidence. Here's what happened. 2 weeks ago, the story leaks. He's out of here, 100%. Gone. 2 weeks later, all his friends. It's fixable. You know what this is. It's human. Aaron was humiliated on draft night a year ago. Humiliated. They drafted Jordan Love. Aaron was pissed. So he waited 1 year. Pew! He fired back. And he said, I'm going to hurt you like you hurt me. And it got real hot, and everybody talked about it. 2 weeks later, Aaron's coming back. It's human. You humiliate me, I'm not going to forget. I'm going to humiliate you. What do they always say? I'll forgive. I'm not going to forget. Aaron, even his friends have acknowledged he can be a little petty, a little bit of a grudge holder. It's okay. A lot of people are. It's okay. No reason not to like him. But the NFL knows something. They got all these 11 games, national TV games. His buddies are all using the same word. The Blake Bortles thing. Come on. That doesn't mean anything. That's, if anything, that's telling you they don't trust Jordan Love right now if Aaron got hurt. So I wouldn't make, I think everybody jumped to the conclusion he's gone. And I think, no, folks, where's he going to go? I mean, let's say you run the Green Bay Packers. All of us think we're armchair GMs. You run the Packers. Would you trade him to Denver? Yeah. I would too if Jordan Love could play. But the Packers said 2 days ago, quote, he's a long way off, unquote. The Packers just acquired Blake Bortles, telling you he's a long way off, unquote. Aaron's not going anywhere.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
17-17, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored in every single game. A lot of them, 8.5, 9.5, 6, 7.5, 10, 6, 5.5, 4.5, 7. They're favored in every game. They will not go undefeated. First of all, there's some big trap games here. If you look at Tampa's schedule, week 3, they're at the Rams. By the way, that's a minus 1. That's the least they're favored in any game. So that's a coin flip game. They also face the Patriots at New England the next week. So they travel all the way to L.A., go back all the way to Boston. And then they come back and play Miami, which feels a little bit. Miami's used to that lousy humidity in September. That feels a little trappy to me. So you've got the Rams on the West Coast. Then it's Belichick, which you could overlook the Rams. And then after the Rams and the Patriots, you don't think there could be a little letdown for Miami? Absolutely. And Miami, let's be honest, defensively and special teams, you don't blow them out. They're in against everybody. Later in the year, they get the Colts on the road on a short week. They play the Giants Monday night football, come back home, travel short week, get the Colts on the road. That's no day at the beach. Then they get Buffalo at home, but in December, again, that's a coin flip game. I think Buffalo is one of the few teams that can match up toe-to-toe with Tampa Bay. So the other thing to remember is load management with 17 games. Bruce Arian tends to be very player friendly. You know, he's not Tom Thibodeau. Okay. He's not going to press you every practice. It's very likely that Bruce Arians gives, they have receiver depth and defensive line depth. They're going to give tight end depth, linebacker depth. They're going to give some guys off weeks. You're not going to have a full-strength Buccaneers team. Now, they're good enough to do that and still win, but they're going to give some people time off. Also, Brady's old. Not just quarterback old, he's old. He just had knee surgery. So, you know, Tom is, there's no, you know, Tom talked, oh, I want to go 17-0. There's a lot of things people say. I can tell you this. You get old fast in life and in sports. Peyton Manning got old fast. Like Peyton Manning went from Super Bowl to, oh, hell, Brock Osweiler is now starting and Peyton's on the bench. LeBron this year has aged very quickly. Not just getting injured, coming back, getting injured again. How many days is he going to tell us he's going to play with a high ankle sprain? So you age very quickly. Brady just had knee surgery. Brady gets dinged. There's enough good pass rushes on this defense. You got some Khalil Mack, the Giants, Washington, Philadelphia, Aaron Donald, Colts now have a very good pass rush, the Saints. There's a lot of pass rushes here. By the way, the Jets defensive line's the strength of their team, Miami. So I don't buy 17-0. I think that Rams, Patriots, Dolphins, 3-game stretch, nobody's going 3-0 on that. I don't see anybody going 3-0. And remember, a lot of what Tampa was last year, they were trying to find their way until they got lucky at the end of the year and played Atlanta a couple times in Detroit. They got their mojo going, and then Green Bay made a really bad coaching error. Green Bay had them on the ropes in Lambeau. And then they got another break because Eric Fisher got hurt and the Chiefs' offensive line was missing both tackles. I'm not saying this is not the best team in football, but they're not the 75 Steelers. This is not the 95 Nebraska Cornhuskers. Literally, their backups were better than everybody. This has an old, old quarterback, a coach who would be more than willing to give some guys some Sundays off or Mondays off. I think this is going to be a nice 13-14 win team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I've been very lucky in my career. I've had mostly really good bosses, and I've gotten really good support. And that's really, really important. Like all of us, we get some breaks in life. And I've had mostly good breaks with the companies, the management. I've had a lot of stability. I had one brief two-year time in Tampa with an organization that was very chaotic newsroom. Nobody's fault. They had changed ownerships. It was a tire fire. And by the way, that was the 2 years where I struggled. And I even said with Odell Beckham, who I like, when Odell didn't have chaos in his life, Odell Beckham has been great, but he goes to Cleveland, end of New York without Coughlin. At LSU, he didn't have problems. He didn't have problems with Coughlin early. That wasn't a problem. He's somebody that he doesn't like chaos. So I always try to say, listen, dude, you've been lucky. I've been lucky about that stuff. And I mean, here's a prime example. Dak Prescott, and I like Dak, he inherited the best offensive line in football, Zeke, the biggest brand, and an offensive coach, Jason Garrett, who'd quarterback in the NFL. Matt Stafford inherits the worst franchise, not named the Cleveland Browns, the Lions, got Jim Schwartz, a defensive coach, with a terrible offensive line and no running game. I think Matt Stafford's more talented than Dak Prescott. So does every GM. Even Stephen Jones knows it. I don't resent what Dak's done, but he made $107 million last year. Dak did. He didn't even play much. The Cowboys, the O-line, Zeke, Jerry, middle of the country, America's brand. That's a break. He got a good break. Matt Stafford, super talented, could not have gotten a worse situation. So Matt Stafford has been invisible for 12 years in Detroit, except Thanksgiving. I mean, literally invisible. What's fascinating is Matt Stafford now, look at this Rams schedule. Bears, NBC national TV. 2 weeks later, Buccaneers. My guess is it's on Fox, America's Game of the Week. 2 weeks later, Arizona, Fox, Amazon, 520, Game of the Week. Start looking at this. NBC, Monday Night Football, Niners. Green Bay, Packers, Fox. At Arizona, that's an ESPN Monday Night Football. Seahawks, Fox. That'll end up being America's Game of the Week, I would imagine. At Baltimore, San Francisco. Those are 10 national TV games for Matt Stafford. This is very Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett was great. We didn't talk about him for 10 years in Minnesota. He goes to Boston. He was the most discussed big in the game for 5 years. Every playoff game, we were all glued on that. Doc Rivers, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. Kevin had always been great. But he ended up in Minnesota. And that's where I feel for pro athletes. I know, they're all rich, blah, blah, blah. But God, some guys get breaks. I mean, Dak, I love him, but he inherited three Hall of Famers on the offensive line in their prime and Zeke. And a coach who'd been a quarterback. And by the way, an owner who loves offensive players. Jerry loves offense. I'll get him more weapons. Matt Stafford goes to Detroit, and they can't, I mean, nothing works. Defensive coach, bad O-line, no running game. Listen, Mike Trout is great, but he's invisible with the Angels. What if Mike Trout was with the Yankees and had a Hall of Famer hitting behind him? You couldn't throw him off speed. And by the way, when Mike Trout comes up in for the second, third, fourth time, there's runners on base because the Yankees have bought all-stars. I mean, if you ever think about Mike Trout's numbers, if he was in New York and he had Hall of Famers behind him, more guys on base. I mean, Mike Trout I don't think he's won a playoff series. I mean, so again, Mike Trout's great. How great could he be? Matt Stafford's talented, but good God, he gets a culture upgrade, a coach upgrade, an O-line upgrade, a receiver upgrade, Cam Akers, a running back upgrade. Now, the division's tougher, but you'd take that. I mean, I'm not an MVP guy. I hate talking about that, but not only will Matt be good, the story's good. Like the Kevin Garnett to the Celtics, that was a great story. It's like this dude deserves Ray Allen, Doc Rivers, Paul Pierce, Ron. He has earned that. I'm not a big believer in you deserve stuff. You got to earn it. Kevin Garnett had earned the right to be on a notable franchise. Matt Stafford's earned the right. He got a nothing sandwich, and I think he's going to have a terrific year.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a good team like Buffalo or Tampa, Kansas City, you're going to win a bunch of games. And then there's the bad teams that aren't going to win any. And then there's those teams that we know are competent. They're absolutely, I'll give you three of them. Miami, the Chargers, and Dallas are all, I think, talented enough to be playoff teams. That's where the schedule can subtract a game or add a game. And I want to talk Miami, Chargers, Cowboys. I all thought they got a little tough break. So let's start with Miami. Brian Flores is trying to tell everybody, Tua is the guy. Even though multiple Dolphin players leaked to the Miami Herald last year, we don't think he's the guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked much more athletic. Look at the first 10 weeks of, you got Tua, 6 feet tall, not a big arm, not specially mobile. You open at Cam, 6'6", to 6'7", Josh Allen. At Derek Carr, at 6'5", Carson Wentz, at Tom Brady, at Trevor Lawrence, MVP Matt Ryan, at Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. They had a whole bunch of special in there. Big, athletic, great, rings, MVPs. And you're selling that locker room. Well, I mean, Tua doesn't have a big arm. He's not especially mobile, but he is, this is our guy. You can't fool players. There is no schedule in the NFL that has more superstar talented level. I mean, you got six guys, 6'6", 6'5", 6'4", Tom Brady, MVP, Lamar Jackson's the fastest player in the league at his position, Deshaun Watson. It is nothing but special for 10 weeks. In a tougher division now, selling them to is the guy. I'm just saying, you can try to fool the press, and a lot of times you'll fool the press. You're not going to fool the players. It's not a great break for Miami schedule, and I like them. The Chargers. I like the Chargers, too. A lot of people think they're a underdog, a dark horse Super Bowl team. They have a rookie head coach. Okay, let's go look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the first 7 weeks, they face Ron Rivera, been to a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy, been to a Super Bowl. Andy Reid, won a Super Bowl. John Gruden, won a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick won a bunch of them. That is a big ask. Brandon Staley has been in the NFL coaching in total 4 years. In a tough division, he opens with Belichick, Andy Reid, Gruden, McCarthy, Ron Rivera, and John Harbaugh. That ain't a break. That's walking into the octagon and getting, you know, Conor McGregor in his prime. And then look at Dallas's schedule. Fascinating. I've said before, Dallas this year spent all their draft capital on defense, as they should. Next year, it's pretty easy. They're going to spend it on the O-line. It's getting old. O-lines that are old are generally fine in September and October. The question is, are they healthy late? Look at Dallas's last six games. Six good pass rushes. At the Saints, at Washington, at the Giants, Washington, Arizona brought in J.J. Watt with Chandler Jones, Philadelphia. Say what you want about Philadelphia. They were a mess last year. The front seven wasn't. And that is six big boy pass rushes. And again, I don't mind that they open at Tampa and at the Chargers. Those are great pass rushes. But Tyron Smith's going to be healthy. He's going to be upright. I do worry about Dallas end of the year old offensive line, which they did not really truly address this year. What's that old line look like? Is Dak running for his life? So it's fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Jets and Carolina. So we know this to be true, Joy, is that we always do tomorrow's headlines today, kind of predicting what the headlines will be. But, you know, in big cities like, you know, New York, the headline, they got five newspapers, the New York Post, the Times, the Daily News. Very interesting on the Jets and Carolina. So Sam Darnold goes to the Jets, and they replace him with the next young star, Zach Wilson, and we ship Sam off. Well, the NFL puts them right up against each other week one. Very smart. This game may not mean anything, be marketable at all in week 8, 5, 9. But they have Sam at home. They're favored by 3.5 over Zach Wilson. So let's say they win. Let's say Sam Darnold has got the more experience by a year head coach. Actually, I will say this. Carolina's got some good offensive weapons. Chuba Hubbard, Christian McCaffrey, running backs. So let's say they win it. Well, Carolina then gets Sam Darnold, actually, if they can win that opener. Saints at home, starting a new quarterback. Texans dysfunction, bad Cowboy defense, Philadelphia's rebuilding, Minnesota's rebuilding. It's a lot of bad defenses. Daniel Jones, a young quarterback. Jalen Hurts, a young quarterback. Atlanta Falcons are rebuilding. Sam Darnold wins that opener. It is 2 months of bad defenses, rebuilding, and young quarterbacks. Zach Wilson. Okay, the new kid, let's say he loses on the road. Look at his schedule. Look at the defensive coaches he faces. He then faces Belichick, into Vic Fangio, into Mike Vrabel, into a London game, into Belichick, Sean McDermott, Brian Flores. That is a gauntlet of some of the best defensive coaches in the NFL. So just to give you, you know, the headline, we always say the headline will be Darnold darn good is going to be the headline by about week 7 or 8. Sam Darnold, if he can win that home opener against him, he gets a huge scheduling break, rebuilding defenses, young quarterbacks, dysfunctional team. Zach Wilson is some of the best defensive coaches, one after another with a rookie head coach. So you can see that story by October being like, Jets may have made a little mistake here. Doesn't mean they did, but you can see a story developing. It really plays into Darnold's favor early and does not play into Zach Wilson and the Jets' favor early.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
How lucky are we? 18 years at Oklahoma, a national champion, a 10-time Big 12 Coach of the Year. One of the great, I mean, really top 4 or 5 coaches last 25 years in college football. He'd be embarrassed by that because he's a humble guy. Bob Stoops, who's the newest member of the Big Noon kickoff team. Urban Meyer was here. He's gone. Big shoes to fill, but that's why we went out and got Bob Stoops. It is great to see you. When your name came up, I don't know how far the negotiations were. And, they said, well, what do you make? And I said, well, I think Stoops should go into coaching still. I think he's got 10 years left to coach. And they said, you know, he may work at Fox. And I thought, we're going to get Bob Stoops. So it's great to have you as part of the team.
I appreciate it, Colin. I'm really looking forward to Big Noon Saturday, working with the team, working here at Fox. It's been awesome. What a great team and what great camaraderie already. And but I'm a little concerned that they brought me on your show to argue about Britt Baker Mayfield, and I don't think I'm the right guy for you to argue Baker Mayfield about.
No, he's going to do fine. By the way, he's going to do fine this year. It is interesting. We'll get into some of the Oklahoma when you were there put a lot of guys in the NFL. Similarly, they do it with Lincoln Riley, and a lot of times a legend leaves. Almost always, and you never find the replacement. I mean, it's almost a guarantee. You can never replace. I mean, Alabama's going to have their hands full. And then you guys get Lincoln Riley. And it almost felt like to me, because you were so selfless that you could have kept going, but you thought to yourself, I found the guy. This is perfect. That's what it felt like to me.
No, it's truly that way. I've always said I wasn't going to be a lifer. I wasn't going to coach till – I wasn't going to coach till I was old. I guess I'm old, though. But in the end, I knew the right guy was there in all the right ways. Just the person, the man that he is, family man that he is, the leadership qualities, the way he connected with players. I just knew this was perfect, that I could step out, and it would have killed me to have hurt the program. But I knew if I could step out in the same, they could continue on in the same manner and hopefully make improvements, that this is the right time. And I knew there was strong structure around them that was still remained in place.
Great AD, president.
Everything. Yeah. So that's why. And I just thought, you know, I don't want to miss the right moment, and it was perfect. And Lincoln's doing a great job.
No, he's terrific. We bring him on all the time. Oklahoma's a top five program all time, top three probably right now. So Urban Meyer's going college to pro, and it's interesting because for years and years, a lot of the guys, Pete Carroll was in the NFL, went to college, back to the NFL. Tom Coughlin had even done some NFL position coaching. Urban had told me years ago, I don't even watch the NFL. Like Sunday, it's film day. And so I think Urban's smart, curious, intellectual. He'll figure it out. You have been offered NFL jobs. You didn't take them. If from all the opportunities you've had, what does it take? Because some guys have worked, some haven't. College to pro, what would concern you? What would make you hopeful with Urban?
You know, as much as anything, it's hard for me to speak of it since I'm no expert and I haven't coached in the NFL. So that part of it, you know, you just got to take for what it is. But to me, it's the schedule, the length of the season, the length of preseason, keeping players healthy, managing all of that. You're going to surround yourself with great coaches at whatever level. They're going to help you win or not win. So no one does it by themselves in our game. But so to me, the biggest part would be to handle that length of a schedule, that many football games, and how to manage it.
20 games. That doesn't even count playoffs.
You know, Reggie Bush and I were just talking in back here, part of our, Big Noon Saturday team. And I said to me, it'd be like maybe basketball. I'd be rotating players, counting how many snaps each guy has had midway through the year, who's had so many. Like basketball does. You just use your entire roster. I know everyone does, but I mean, even in the rotation of your normal downs is making sure we're keeping up with how long a guy's been on the field.
So I grew up with Oklahoma and Barry Switzer and literally 10 guys in the backfield and one receiver. It was a power program. And then Bob Stoops come in. And this is one of the things I've always admired about Saban. Saban just acknowledged, we got to spread it out. The game's changing. You did it before him. You literally were like, Oklahoma football was the running program in America with Nebraska. And you were like, at some point, all right, fellas, spread them out. Here we go. Why were you so willing to adapt and evolve? Did you go to camps? Was it fear-based that I'm going to get overwhelmed here if I don't evolve?
You know what it was? When I first was hired at Oklahoma, I hired Mike Leach. And the primary reason I hired Mike Leach, he was working as the offensive coordinator with Hal Mumme at Kentucky. I'm the defensive coordinator at Florida. And the team that gave me the most problems and drove me crazy was Kentucky. They had the most first downs in the league. They had the most points, on and on and on. And so I called Hal Mumme because I knew I couldn't hire him. He wasn't going to leave his head coaching position. I said, hey, can Mike Leach run the offense and do the things you do at Kentucky? He said, absolutely. I just wanted to know, could he be that kind of leader? And Mike is. Mike's a leader. He has his own way of doing things. But anyway, I hired Mike, and all he did is show Tim Couch's highlights when we were recruiting. We really didn't have any quality big-time quarterbacks on campus. So when Mike arrives, we get Josh Heupel, runner-up in the Heisman Trophy, also a national champion quarterback. We get Jason White, most decorated player in Oklahoma history when you look at awards, and brought us to two national championship games. And then Nate Hibble, who won us a Big 12 championship, and he's a Rose Bowl MVP. Those three guys came that year that I hired Mike Leach right off the start.
Isn't that funny? The coach who drove you crazy in the SEC is the guy you hired at Oklahoma because you couldn't stop him. Yeah. And by the way, it takes guts because Mike is his own guy. He's as You know, loves Pirates.
If I had known him, then maybe I wouldn't have fired him. I'm kidding. I love Mike. He's awesome, and he was a great hire for me.
So Texas, this is interesting. So Oklahoma and Texas, top three rivalry in the sport, and they hired Steve Sarkisian, and I think he's going to work, and I think Bobby's going to work big. At USC, he had some personal issues that he's overcome, but he can recruit. He's got a good eye for personnel. He's young. He's got a good energy about when Sark walks in a room, there's a presence to him. Your thoughts on the task at Texas, because they don't have, I watched that draft. There's not a ton of Texas guys got drafted this year. Is it a huge rebuild or are they close?
Well, I don't know why it would be a huge rebuild. They've had the top recruiting class the last 3 years in the Big 12, and it's been top 10 nationally. So they have players. Unlike when we walked in Oklahoma, that I don't think that was the case. So bottom line, they have players. To me, it's about development. And I do believe, I agree with you. I think Steve Sarkisian's a really great coach. He's got a really good, great track record. And I believe he'll do really well. Hopefully just not as well as Oklahoma.
So Spencer Rattler, Joy last year is like, you got to watch this kid. And I watch a lot of Oklahoma games. So Spencer Rattler's the quarterback. And people are suggesting he'd be the number one pick. Wouldn't surprise me. And it's funny because I think he's more naturally gifted than a Baker. He's a little bit of a gunslinger. And it works at Oklahoma. Because in the Big 12, there's a lot of points. You can throw the occasional pick. It's okay, right?
Well, now there's a lot of points in the SEC, too, now that there's some quarterbacks that are throwing the ball around.
So you've always poked the SEC in the ribs.
Well, I'm just saying, look at LSU two years ago. Look at Alabama the last couple of years. When there's great quality quarterback play, it's hard to deal with.
So Spencer Rattler, if I'd never seen him play, what makes him special?
Great release, great arm. Just got one of those. He has the ability to throw the ball at any angle, and got a really quick release and very accurate.
How long did you guys recruit him there? I mean, was he good at eighth grade, ninth grade?
Well, he committed to OU when I was there.
Holy moly!
So he committed young. I want to say his sophomore or junior year, and then I stepped away. But of course, Lincoln had the best relationship with him.
Yeah.
And of course, he stayed with us, knowing Lincoln was going to be his guy and going to be his quarterback coach and head coach.
By the way, your son Drake's a receiver at Oklahoma. Do you miss the juice of game day?
Oh yeah. You know, nothing in life, you know, compares to that. You know, people, you do as a coach, you get addicted to the excitement of it, the intensity of it all. And the pressure of it, oddly, you love it, you know, because you really know you're alive when you're pulling in that stadium or walking down that ramp, getting ready to kick it off, not knowing the outcome, you know. So, sure, you miss it. I don't know that you ever get used to it.
You know, it's fun. One of the things I always respected about Oklahoma, you played Notre Dame. You're just thinking of the big games. You played Ohio State,
Alabama. Florida State, Miami.
You know, no shot at the SEC, but yeah, I can only see Citadel so many times on those schedules. You have always said, bring in the big dogs. By the way, that's not necessarily always great for you because everybody watches it. If it's week one or two and you lose, you got to build your way back up, voter confidence. So what was Bob Stoops' theory? USC, by the way, has always done that too. USC wants to schedule big games.
Sure.
What was your theory on that?
Once we won the national championship in 2000, I said to our athletic director, Joe Castiglione, look, if we're going to be a big dog, we're going to play other big dogs. I mean, we're not going to shy away from anybody. And we didn't. I think in 2003 on our out-of-conference schedule, we had Oregon and Alabama.
Yep.
So we were always willing to play big games. You know, home and away, you know, take our turns and never again. We just felt that way. If you're going to be a ranked top 5-10 ranked team, you're not afraid to go play anywhere, anytime.
By the way, it is funny. A lot of college coaches, they want to coach until, you know, they're on a golf cart and, you know, they can, you know, they got to be helped around campus. You left 10 miles early. Now you got a beautiful wife, great family, but it is interesting. You are rare. Most coaches, they stick around forever. What was it, do you think, in your DNA that you're like, I'm not going to be that guy?
Well, I just have always had other interests in life. And as much as anything, I appreciate and enjoy my own time. And with my family, with my friends, doing things I want to do. And in our profession, it's all consuming. And at a certain point, I figured, you know, I've loved what I've done. It couldn't have been better. I mean, I had so much fun. But it was just time to grab my own time. And in life, I don't think you, until you open yourself up to other opportunities, you don't know what else is out there. So in the end, I miss it? Heck yeah. But do I regret it? No. You know, so it was just time for me. And I felt too, you know, after 18 years in one place, that I had run my course there, that it was just perfect time for me to step away and let the, you know, the program continue with Lincoln.
Now, Leinart and Reggie are very nice, but Notre Dame guys, Brady Quinn, you got to keep your eye on them. These Notre Dame guys, you got to just fire back at Brady. You know, the SC guys, LA guys are all laid back.
Yeah, they've been easy on me. So, but anyway, it's a great crew, you know,
great.
As you said, Brady Quinn, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Rob Stone, keeping everybody in line. So I'm really excited about it and can't wait, you know, for the fall.
So lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Great to see you again.
I appreciate it, Colin. Always good to be on with you.
All right.
Go Baker.
Baker's going to have a very – by the way, I picked the Browns to win the division.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. As Joey knows – people only hear the bad stuff. What happens when I say nice stuff?
It just disappears. Very supportive of them all year.
Disappears
last year.
Into the ether. Nobody hears it. All right, Bob, good stuff.